You're listening to the Retrovore Union Square Market Report.
This week we meet three farmers who have opted out of organic standards for what many call beyond organic. While they're not certified organic, many of their practices are more stringent than those who are certified. First we'll meet Joel Bulich of Bulich Mushroom Company. He's the last remaining cultivated mushroom farmer in New York State, and he grows a variety of mushrooms from shiitake to portobello.
Then we'll hear from Tim and Kevin at Windfall Farms. They sell Beyond Organic specialty produce, and right now they have a very impressive array of Beyond Organic shoots, greens, microgreens, and root vegetables, and they're famous for their watermelon radishes.
Lastly, we'll talk to Jim Grillo of Northshire Farms. He grows a large variety of brassicas, as well as raising chickens and ducks. He has fantastic duck and chicken eggs, and used to have the best wild boar until they ate him out of house and home, and he was forced to turn them all into bacon.
I'm Joe Bulich from Bulich Mushroom Farm. We're located in Catskill, New York. We're the only cultivated mushroom farmer left in New York State, actually, whereas 30 years ago there was over 60 growers in the Hudson Valley region. My brothers Mike and Mark, older brothers, they're my partners in the farm. Farm's located in Catskill, New York, just below Albany, about 30 miles south. We have about a 700-acre farm there. We also do hay on it, mainly mushroom growing. They're all cultivated indoors, temperature-controlled barns. We grow the white button variety, your shiitakes, your oysters, portobellas, and the carminis. We've had discussions over the years of trying to grow others, but cost-wise, it just doesn't work for us because we're very small. It's the reason we're still in business, because we do everything ourselves. We have a couple seasonal workers when we need them. Other than that, everything we do, fixing machinery, everything's done by ourselves. One of the main reasons we're still in business. Whereas most of the mushroom growers are coming out of Pennsylvania, large commercial growers. That's where most of our competition is from. But we're able to beat them on cost because, as I say, we do a lot of things ourselves. Difficult this time of year with the fuel oil prices because we got to use a lot of heat. We make do where we have to. All grown indoors. Composting's done outdoors, and then we bring it in with conveyor machines. It's on a tier system indoors, on rack systems. And when we first start the process, it's about a good month and a half, 2 months before we even harvest the mushroom. Then we harvest for about 4 weeks, and then we kill the crop off again, empty out the room, complete cleanliness. They're organically grown, although we're not certified. It's not worth it for us to be certified. Years ago, a lot of things were needed because there were so many growers. Problem was mushroom flies and aerated diseases. Mushrooms very susceptible to disease. Where there was a lot of growers, there was a lot of disease. They would go from one grower to the next. A lot of people lost a lot of crops, put a lot of people out of business, stuff like that. Now, one fortunate thing of us being the only ones left is we don't have that problem. We also grow our spent mushroom compost, which broken down is just a very viable for your flower beds, your gardens. It's an incredible source for vegetables. We actually sell that at the farm. We get up to $20 a yard for it, which actually is cheap. A lot of people say we're cheap compared to what other people sell it for. We've used that out in our fields for our mushroom, for the hay fields and stuff. We get great production from it. That was done over the years when my father was running the business. It wasn't sold out. But being we re-nutritionalized the earth. It was an old sand farm. So now our soil base is much greater than what it used to be, whereas we couldn't grow anything off it. But now we've reached a point where we don't need to, so we started selling it to the public. It's worked out well. It helps. Any little thing we can do to bring in some extra income to help pay for the expenses helps. That's obvious. Lastly, we're on Union Square Green Market on just Saturdays, year-round.
I'm Tim Wersan, and I work for Windfall Farms.
And Kevin Kaplicki, I also work for Windfall Farms.
We grow a lot of specialty produce and salad greens year-round for the Union Square Farmers Market, where we sell our produce twice a week on Wednesdays and Saturdays. We grow without any chemicals, no pesticides, no herbicides, no insecticides, no chemical fertilizer, no fungicides, but we don't call it organic because organic means you can use certain chemicals. It's kind of a marketing term at this point. So even though it's in actually the name of our farm officially, it's Windfall Farms organic produce. It's not something we want to be associated with anymore. We use all the, you know, original, you know, organic growing methods, you know, a lot of companion cropping, and we use some predatory insects in our greenhouses, but that's about it in terms of controlling, and weeding, of course, but in terms of controlling nature, you know, not a whole else, a lot else. We're located in Montgomery, New York, Orange County, New York, which is about 65 miles from our Union Square spot in the next few years, if not earlier, because the whole area has been zoned industrial, and we've got a lot of warehouses going up around us, and trucks will be going through the farm, you know, on a regular basis if we're still there. And so we're currently looking into another piece of land and possibly moving the farm. We have microgreens year round. We do a couple different types of radish greens, which don't actually grow edible roots. They're for the greens, and they're microgreens, which means that they're cut right above the root, and they've had some photosynthesis, so they're really healthy. A lot of the benefits of the seed without the fats. We like to have arugula year round. It's a favorite, and it's a pretty healthy one. All those brassicas are really healthy, and also just a favorite in terms of its flavor. Kind of usually the first thing it sells out, actually.
This is Kevin. We also do like some seasonal veggies. In the summertime, we'll have squash blossoms, other edible flowers like nasturtiums, impatiens. We have few varieties of heirloom cherry tomatoes, which are incredibly delicious. The only animals we have on the farm are some chickens that we get a few half dozen of eggs that are another kind of it's a highly contested thing at our stand. Some people are very, the foodies come and they're very particular about their eggs, so they really, really appreciate ours. One thing that people are sometimes surprised by is the price of our produce. Yeah, it's reflective of the kinds of labor that goes into it. It's all picked by hand. It's all washed by hand. And it's so that kind of the amount of labor that goes into it, it's very labor intensive. So it's like we have to demand this kind of price if we're going to be able to pay people a living wage and to survive.
Seed cost is also high. So that's just another contributing factor. Heating. I mean, we're in the dead of winter right now, and we've got enormous heating bills for our greenhouses. So it does add up. It's kind of strange. I mean, I think to some extent, there are some people out there that just still don't know that this stuff doesn't grow in the ground right now. But we really do try to keep people educated about, you know, what grows this time of year. We try to have a good deal of root vegetables going into the season. But, you know, it's farming. It's unpredictable. We got an early frost. It knocked out a lot of our watermelon radish, which are a big favorite here. So this is actually probably the first week we don't have the watermelon radish. So people are kind of curious why and where it is. So, and it might be probably the last week we have our carrots, which are also a big favorite. Grow a couple of varieties that are really sweet, so people, you know that, and they come here for them. You can reach us at www.windfallfarms.com.
Hi, I'm Jim Grillo from North Shire Farms in West Winfield, New York. It's in central New York, just about the middle of New York State. I raise specialty Italian and Asian vegetables. And I have chickens and rabbits, and I grow eggs and rabbits and chickens for meat, quail, partridge, duck eggs, and ducks. My farm is 125 acres, which of 40 is tillable, and I do about 7 acres of vegetables. In the winter, I sell cabbages, stored, Savoy cabbage, red cabbage, and green cabbage, Chinese cabbage when available. But this year I didn't have any Chinese cabbage because I grow non-certified organically, and worms ate all my Chinese cabbage. From the inside out, you couldn't tell they were there until you grabbed the cabbage and it was hollow inside. I used to raise wild boar for about 10 years until the wild boar decided they were smarter than me, and every time it rained they would leave the pasture and eat my backyard or the neighbor's backyard or my vegetables. I decided, well, the wild boar had to go to pig heaven, so that's where they are, and they were all made into bacon. My growing practices as far as my vegetables are concerned are beyond organic. I spray nothing. The only thing that touches my vegetables is the rain. I use my chickens and other animals give me the manure, which I use for fertilizer after it's composted. And I have very good limestone soil, so it's very easy to grow vegetables, especially brassica vegetables on my farm. I don't pick any of my cabbages or vegetables that have to be picked after the cold for full flavor. I wait until at least one or two frosts hit them. I mean, I'm talking about frozen. When they thaw, that type of vegetable, when it thaws, it just looks exactly the same as when it was before it was frozen, and it imparts a really sweet flavor. The Italian vegetables, I have radicchio travisio, which is a stored radicchio, and that is dug with the roots and forced in storage.
That's a wrap for this week. Hey, Amy, what do sheep, beans, and honey have in common?
They're all on next week's podcast?
Exactly. And just a reminder to our listeners, if you're listening on iTunes or you're watching on a video iPod, you can see pictures of all the farmers and what they sell. The Retrovore Union Square Market Report is produced by Matt and Amy of Retrovore.com. Remember, the future
is in the pasture.
See you next week.